You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Oh, yes. When you hear that, you know it's time for the Friday forecast with the cool Jason Gibbs. Take it away.
Number one.
Question number one today, guys, on this Friday. Which second-year quarterback will make the most improvements in his game? Blake Bortles, Derek Carr, Theodore Bridgewater, or John Paul Football?
I'm going to have to go with Teddy Bridgewater here for a couple different reasons. I think Blake Bortles stinks. I think Derek Carr is going to have a big recession this year. I don't think Johnny's going to see the field because of my sources telling me how strong McCown looks. And I think Teddy's going to take another big step forward. So I'm going to have to go with Nate's favorite, Teddy Bridgewater.
I think Teddy Bridgewater has got it, and you'll see some slight improvements, not most improvement of these four quarterbacks. The most improvement, I think, is going to come from Blake Bortles simply because he'll have a little bit more time to throw the ball. He's adapted to the NFL game, and now he has more weapons offensively. So all those things, he's going to lean on them, and they'll naturally just come across as if he's made the most improvement.
I think that the most improvement is going to come from Derek Carr. Now, Johnny Manziel, I think, has the most room to improve.
Yes.
I think Derek Carr is going to make the most improvement. I like the offense. I like the weapons that they went and got for him. I think getting Amari Cooper is going to be a wonderful thing for him down there in Oakland. So I think he's got an opportunity with that team to really take some big steps and strides in year two. I like the way he throws the football. Clive Walford, the tight end they got as well. So I think it's going to be Derek Carr. Teddy Bridgewater, he's going to get better, but he was already really good.
Number two.
The NFL coach most on the hot seat going into 2015 is...
I'm torn here. There's a couple guys I'm considering. I'm going to go with Ken Whisenhunt. I really don't like the guy. I think he did a terrible job last year. But I'm going to give honorable mention to Tomasula in San Francisco because I think that guy has as much business being a head coach as you do, Gibbs. And I think they're going to stink. He could be one and done.
Gibbs, coach for a year so then you could determine what's interceptable and what isn't.
No, thank you. That sounds boring to me.
The Cincinnati Bengals, Vegas had them at 8.5 wins. I had them lower, winning 8. And I think that the Cincinnati, a lot like the Chicago Bulls, Tom Thibodeau and management didn't see eye to eye. They needed a culture change. I think a culture change is due in Cincinnati, and for that reason, Marvin Lewis is on the hottest seat in the most competitive division in football.
Got to thank my guy Disco Puma real quickly. He added not only they had Amari Cooper and Walford, they also added Michael Crabtree for
they
Derek
did.
Carr.
That's what
so
I mean. I
he
feel
got a big
like
upgrade
that team's
in his
a
weapons.
Better team than 5.5 wins.
Their D got Khalil Mack.
Oakland somehow finds a way to screw it up.
Yep. All right, so the coach most on the hot seat for me, I'm going to say Jeff Fisher. How long do you get by being a mediocre coach? They've got talent and talent and talent on the defensive side of the ball. They've invested pick after pick after pick on the offensive side of the ball. They got him a quarterback that he wanted in Nick Foles. To me, he's got to be somebody who's on the hot seat. I'd say Joe Philbin in Miami's also on the hot seat with what they all the work that they have done
That's
down there.
One.
I think he's got to be on the hot seat. They need to have a solid season down in Miami. So those two guys would be on the hot seat for me. Marvin Lewis, I think, for whatever reason, I think he always seems to get a pass there.
So does Fisher, though. I mean, Fisher gets his pass like he's a Hall of Fame coach, and if you look at the numbers, his teams have been 8-8 or below almost every single year. He's had one or two good years.
Number three.
If college football were to do a Hard Knocks, what college football team would you most want to see?
Well, I am biased, but I think that
could this be like at any time, or is it this year?
This year.
I mean, I think it goes without saying that for me, I'd want to see the blue anyways, and I think Harbaugh would be so entertaining that it would other people would enjoy it as well.
I'm going to agree. I think that, and this comes from Harbaugh's success at Stanford, the dynamic that shifted both in his favor and out of his favor with his players in San Francisco, and the success that they had. Alex Boone loved him at higher time, but wanted to fight him at the firing time. And I just think it's most intriguing, the comments that I've shared on this show that Mark D'Antonio, head coach at Michigan State, my former defensive coordinator at Ohio State, shared with me, and he just said, this guy's cuckoo.
Yeah.
So I just think, if you want entertainment television, he's your guy. So for that reason, I concur. I'd say Michigan is very intriguing.
Yeah, why not? I mean, sure. I don't really have a big care on that. If there was one program or one team that I wish you could have done a real Hard Knocks on, I'm sure for you it would have been the Fab Five. We're talking like any sport. Like if you could have done that style documentary, I would think for you it would have been the Fab Five. For me, you know, obviously some of those 49ers teams that I love so much growing up as a kid, but I would have loved to have seen a true behind the scenes, like every second of every day on those UNLV teams.
Yeah, that would have been cool. But the Fab Five, let me tell you, that was I was in school, and I'm not sitting here saying I was rubbing shoulders.
We were
with
talking about college football, guys, just so you know.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry.
What college football team of all time would you have wanted to see that hard?
The U.
But yeah, they kind of did that U documentary. So I feel
yeah,
like
but
I
they weren't showing you the real behind. I mean, they couldn't show you the real behind-the-scenes documentary of Michael Irvin and company in,
sure,
in college.
So
I
you'd
mean,
say the U.
The U.
I think the U.
Now that he's our quarterback, I wouldn't have minded a Hard Knocks on, like, to know what it was really like for John football in college.
Yeah, but
like,
he still was going to school. Where is Texas A&M?
What do you mean? He came to Cleveland and did the same thing last year.
Yeah, but in college, it was okay.
Where is Texas A&M? What city?
College Station.
I mean, how fun is College – I mean, College Station
how fun
or
is
South
Ann Arbor?
Beach? A lot more fun than College Station. South Beach or College Station? I mean, it's got to be the U. Got to be the U.
I'm going to say this. For football this year, I would want to see Nick Saban in Alabama. After getting pasted by Ohio State.
Training camp's going to be miserable.
I think it would be phenomenal.
Yeah.
Saban would be on his and all hell would be breaking
loose. The editor would have to be on the beep button consistently with the way he probably talks to his players.
It would be awesome.
Well, it's HBO, though.
If there was an NFL team that you could choose to have to do it, who would it be?
Me?
You choose Belichick.
Nah, I don't think he'd be so colorful. I may choose the Browns just because that's the team I want the most information on.
I'm going through my head as fast as I can.
Maybe Pete Carroll?
I was going to say Seattle would be interesting. New England would be interesting to me.
Green Bay actually would be a little bit more boring than you might think.
Well, yeah. Why? Their coach seems like he's probably the most boring guy in the entire world.
And Aaron's a great dude. He's a fun guy. But it's like, he is what you see in the State Farm commercials.
And he's also smart enough. He's not putting anything on camera.
Correct.
I think that this, and I know we've had plenty of Rex Ryan, but this year's Buffalo Bills
with
Rex and LeSean.
Mario Williams, that defense.
Percy Harvin. There are a lot of personalities in that room that would be, I think, make for very, very interesting television. I think I would also enjoy Arizona Cardinals. I think I'd really enjoy Bruce Arians.
Oh, yeah. He'd be good, yeah.
I think he would be a good one. There was one other one that was just like at the tip of my
tongue. Dallas? Dallas is always interesting.
Dallas is always interesting. But Jason Garrett's not as interesting.
Yeah,
no.
But it's the player.
No, but Dez Bryant.
Dez would make the show. Dez would be the J.J. Watt of this year's Hard
Knocks. You know what?
Yeah.
Minnesota.
Oh, come on.
Stop it.
Yeah, I want to see the construction of the stadium.
Hold on, though. You don't want to see that Adrian Peterson drama play out? That was so interesting that you're with the Jets with
Revis. He wouldn't
even
be on the TV.
With Revis, that was interesting.
No, I don't think so.
Number four.
All right, put yourself in the Cavaliers-Warriors shoes. We're less than a week away from game one. If you're the Warriors, if you're the Cavaliers, are you more concerned about stopping LeBron James or stopping Steph Curry?
I mean, LeBron James is the greatest player in the history of the game. I think it's harder to stop him. He could beat
you. You lose
somebody.
Credibility on this show every time you say.
Well,
something
here's
like
what I'm going to say. Here's what I'm going to say, and I say that sort of tongue in cheek because Jordan is Jordan. However, Jordan, you know, the whole 6-0 argument is stupid to me because Jordan wasn't able to get to the finals until he had great players around him. This is now the second time that LeBron has gotten to the finals with inferior players around him.
That's a pretty darn good roster.
Kevin Love is injured. Your second and third best players are, one of them's out and one of them is a shell of himself. The other players play roles well.
The East wasn't that good, though.
Okay, the East wasn't well, but they steamrolled through the East. Take a look at the 2007 roster.
No, that one he did. That was a one-man show. This was not a one-man show.
Go back to Chicago. Like, so there was Pippen, right? Then what, Horace Grant?
Horace Grant was a solid
Bill Cartwright, Luke Longley, Bill Wennington. Horace Grant, John Paxson, Horace Grant, Rodman.
And then they had Rodman. Rodman and Horace Grant were solid third members of those
teams.
They weren't
as good as the Brown as the Cavs third.
Dennis Rodman, you're not gonna take Dennis Rodman over Kevin Love?
I'll take Kevin Love over Rodman. How many years was Rodman?
Kevin Love was there over Rodman.
Yes.
Oh.
Exactly.
I'll take Tristan Thompson over Rodman.
Come on.
I would say that the Cavs starting five is better top one through five than those Bulls starting fives 1 through 5.
I don't remember who was 4 and 5 on those
Bill
teams.
Bill Cartwright.
Cartwright, Luke Longley, Bill Wennington.
We're at center.
Well, they weren't all three starters.
I'll take Mozgov over all three of them.
You would not take Mozgov over Bill Cartwright. No.
I think you probably would.
Pull up the stat. Come on. Let's do some analytics here.
Why
does analytics have to be the bailout if we all know what we're talking about?
Bill Cartwright was a solid NBA player. You're just forgetting it was 20 years ago.
So was Mozgov's a solid NBA player.
And he's what, 25?
I think Mozgov and Cartwright cancel each other out.
There you go. John Paxson or B.J. Armstrong was a point guard.
Kyrie's better. He's got the advantage.
Way of an advantage.
But listen. What I'm saying is Kyrie is not healthy right now. If Kyrie was healthy, then the Cavs would have been.
I still think
been,
you got as much the Cavs out of Dellavedova.
No way. The Cavs would be 12-0 right now.
When he played. If Kyrie was healthy,
the Cavs would be 12-0 right now. We're talking about 16-0 for the
And instead,
the title.
What were they?
12-2.
Okay.
That's my point is that all I'm saying is if LeBron finishes this off and I don't believe this, but the analytics are saying Golden State is one of the greatest five teams in NBA history.
Here's Bill Cartwright's numbers with the Chicago Bulls. In 1988-89, 12.4 points, 6.7 boards. Block shots, less than one a game. Come on.
Pull up Mozgov's numbers.
In the next year, 11.4 and 6, half a block a game. 9.6 and 6. 8-5.
It's getting worse.
5-4.
Well,
he
was getting old.
Wait a minute. You're going with his old years.
We're talking about Bill Cartwright on the Chicago Bulls team.
Okay, but what years are we talking about? Let's talk about the first three years they won the title.
Okay, so in 88, when were the first 3 years they won the title?
91, I think, 92 and 93.
Yeah, those were the last three. 8-5, 5-4, and 5-4.
Okay, so then I stand corrected on Bill Cartwright. Who was their starting center that year?
Bill Cartwright.
Luke Longley was in the second.
They had Wennington. I'm telling you.
If Kyrie is healthy, it's a different discussion. I'm saying with Kyrie injured, the team that he took there now, and Bill Laimbeer was – I'm not the only one that said it. Bill Laimbeer was on national radio this week saying the same thing.
Bill Laimbeer didn't like Michael Jordan.
Okay.
I'll also tell you that those Eastern conferences that Michael Jordan went through were much better. The Cavs teams were better. 100%.
Oh, the Cavs were not good.
The Sixers?
The Sixers? Who did the Sixers have?
What do you mean the Cavs weren't good?
The Cavs weren't good. I'm telling you, I grew up on those teams.
The Cavs ended Larry Bird's career.
Great. Larry Bird couldn't even walk and they ended his career. Congratulations. They never were a threat to Chicago. You know what the Cavs were in those years? They're the Atlanta Hawks this year. They had a lot of B-plus players that played really hard, and they were never, ever a threat to win it all.
I don't know about that.
It played out. They never did anything in the playoffs. They never scared
They couldn't get past Jordan.
They couldn't get past
All right,
Jordan.
So this is the team 91. This is the 91 team. Okay, this is the team that won the finals. Jordan, Pippen, Horace Grant, Bill Cartwright, John Paxson were the starters.
John Paxson was solid.
Okay, your key bench players were B.J. Armstrong, Stacey King, Will Perdue. And Cliff Levingston.
But you're not.
I'm telling you, the Cavs' top eight significantly better than that.
Come on. Without Kevin Love and with Kyrie, you're talking. Who is Scottie Pippen compared to on the Cavs with Kyrie injured? Dude, you're saying J.R. Smith
you're
is Scottie Pippen?
On well, everything.
He's injured.
Well, go back. Did any guy. Was Scottie Pippen 100% in every single series? You don't know.
He played every series, Kyrie. Played every series.
You're saying he's 100%?
I don't know if he's 100%.
I think Bill Cartwright
had the flu in one game. Do we have to count that?
I'm just saying, Jordan, who's the other than what perennial all-star did he play with? Pippen.
He played with a top 50 player. a top 50 of all time player.
And would he have been if he didn't play with Michael Jordan?
Yes.
Would Kyrie Irving?
Wait, the year that they that Jordan left, they went to the finals of the Eastern Conference.
They certainly did. That is true.
We'll continue this on the other side.
They won
folks.
55 games.
Yeah, that team that was so terrible without.